Yashodanandana Raja Janarandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gavijana Balabha Giri Varadhari Yashodanandana Braja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam 4:25-27 Ka ete nu patayeta Eka Darsha Mahabhataha Eta Va Lalanah Subhru Koyam Tehich Purah Sarah Bolo Kaete no patayeta Eka darsha mahabhataha Eta valala na subhru Eta valala na subhru Koyam tehi purasaraha Koyam tehi purasaraha Kaete nu patayeta Ekadasha mahabhata Ekadasha mahasubru Koyam tehi purasaraha Koyam tehi purasaraha Kaete nu patayeto Ekadasha Mahabhataha Itova Lalana Subhru Koyam Tehi Purasara Ke
Who
Ete
All these
Anupataha
Followers
Ye
They who
Te,
your,
Ekadasha,
11,
Mahabhataha,
very powerful bodyguards,
Etaha,
all of these,
Va,
also,
Lalanaha,
women,
Subhru,
Oh, beautiful eyed one.
Kaha.
Who?
I am.
This.
Te.
Your.
Ahihi.
The snake.
Puroha.
In front.
Sharaha.
Going.
My dear lotus eyed, you who are these 11 strong bodyguards with you, and who are those 10 specific servants? Who are those women following the 10 servants? And who is the snake that is proceeding in front of you? Yeah. The 10 strong servants of the mind are the 5 working senses and the 5 knowledge gathering senses. All these 10 senses work under the aegis of the mind, protection, authority. The mind and the 10 senses combine to become 11 strong bodyguards. The hundreds of women under the jurisdiction of the senses are addressed here as Lala Naha. The mind works under the intelligence, and under the mind are the 10 senses. And under the 10 senses are innumerable desires to be fulfilled. All these, however, depend on the vital life force, which is here represented by the snake. As long as the vital life force is there, the mind works. And under the mind, the 10 senses work. And the senses give rise to so many material desires. Actually, the living entity known as Paranjana is embarrassed by so much paraphernalia. All this paraphernalia simply constitutes different sources of anxiety. The one who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and leaves all business to Him is free from such anxieties. Therefore, Prahlada Maharaj advises a person who has taken to the materialistic way of life, which is never permanent, but always temporary, to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and leave aside all the so-called responsibilities in order to get free from all anxieties. Prabhupada ki. Kaite nupata yeta ekadasha mahabrataha etava lalana subru koyam tehi purasara. Koi prashna hai? Any questions or comments? All clear? Yeah. How the senses are working? Yeah. I have a question. Because here's the hierarchy. There's the intelligence, under that's the mind, under that's the senses. But before Prabhupada identifies the 5 errors, the vital force says the including. He says the vital force. Yeah, the vital force. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Where to go? Now, the vital force of a living entity includes the 5 kinds of air working within the body. So I think maybe because the prana is the senses, right? The sense of touch, right? This corresponds to air. Like that. But here it's describing the mind also doesn't work without this. No? But I think what it means is the mind as it is attached to, you know, the gross body. Like that. No? You don't have to be. It's like, you know, if you're in the automobile and they tow the automobile away for parking incorrectly, you go with it. Right? You're inside. But you don't have to be. You can just get out and walk away. Right? Strange pot passing back. Yeah. Right? Right. Yeah. And so you see, for example, when you wake up in the morning, you're trying to chant your rounds, and all the prana is down in your stomach or something like that. So you're chanting, you know. And finally you begin to wake up or raise the prana into your brains. In the brain, there's so many nadis, so many different nerves and pathways. And then it's like when they're energized, then the mind can then see itself, you know, reflected in these. But the mind's attached to the prana. You know, as down the lower part of the body, then it also becomes very dull, very gross. You know? And ultimately, the vital force is consciousness. Probably says that someplace. You know, without consciousness, nothing is alive. So consciousness then manifests itself as the through the intelligence, through the mind, and through the senses, like that. Yeah. But in material life, you know, for example, the word spirit is translated as breath, right? Holy Spirit. You know, it means the same thing. It means breath or air or prana. You know? One time I was talking to one of the disciples of Peter Alston, one of the world's greatest kung fu masters. Like that. And I said, what's your description of nature? He said, oh, nature is composed of 5 elements. I was thinking, wow, that's nice. Earth. What else? Water. Fire. Wood and paper. And I said, wow. That's nice. But what about air? Because air is above fire, right? And he said, oh, in Chinese martial arts philosophy, air is like God. It's everywhere. So that's what they are. They're air people. They're kung fu people using prana. Very miraculous ways. They can walk on little plastic cups and do all these miraculous things. You know? Yeah. Because they're on that level like that. But what's above air? Above the life airs? Yeah, sound, ether, the ear, hearing, like that. It's even more subtle. Yeah. So the yogis, they spend, the karate guys focus on prana, and the yogis may more practice on mantra. And these kind of things, and they can live only by sound. Prabhupada says the air is compared to a snake because a snake can live just by breathing air, like that. Yeah. So then the yogis can live just by sound vibration only. Yeah, very subtle. And you can take gross bodies or leave them off as you desire. So you can take off your garments or leave them as you desire. Yeah. So he's asking all these things. Yes, it's an analogy. She's a beautiful girl, but the beautiful girl represents? Yeah, material intelligence, right? Yes, how to enjoy this material world. Like that. I was mentioning this again, the street, ladies' consciousness is more like this, how to have nice clothes, nice house, proper position in society. So men by themselves, maybe they don't shave, they grow their beards, work like bears, like that, so on. But what's his name? Priyavrata. Everybody wanted him to become king. King Priyavrata. But he didn't want to do it. He wanted to stay brahmachari and everything else. So finally, because Lord Brahma and his father were preaching to him, he had to accept it. So he got married. Because it says without becoming married, one cannot become king. Right? Because you have no feeling for these passionate activities like that. So the king Ram is always in his court with Sita and Hanuman, right? Because then, when the lady's there, then there's this feeling of compassion, this appreciation for physical life, for material life. This is, it naturally expands like that. And so then, but the intelligence, can't function without the consciousness, right? There's four deities. Vasudev, Shankarsham, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. They predominate over different material elements. What does Vasudev predominate over? Consciousness, right? Which is always spiritual. If you're at the level of pure consciousness, that's the level of water without any kind of color or contamination like that. But then the consciousness enters into the what? False ego, and that's predominated by Sankarsham. And then that then begins to manifest itself in terms of intelligence, knowledge, that's predominated by Pradyumna. And then finally, you begin to think about it on the basis of your knowledge, because the mind works on the basis of intelligence, and then Aniruddha. And the sun is an incarnation of Aniruddha. Therefore, without sufficient sunlight, it's impossible to keep good mental health. So if you live in Seattle, you can understand why people are crazy there. So always one of the highest suicide rates in America. Okay, I saw in postcard one time, it was kind of foggy, nothing on it but fog. And it said, a typical winter's day in Seattle. And you turned, it was more writing, it said, typical summer's day in Seattle. You turned it said, typical spring day in Seattle. Like that. So out of 365 days, like 60 days or something of sunshine. It's very, therefore they have a lot of art programs and internal like cultural programs to keep people from just going, all becoming alcoholics and dwarfs and everything. The most. So this is describing them. The intelligence is this beautiful, very attractive to the living entity. Because we can't enjoy material life. It's contrary to our nature. So Krishna says, well, you want this here. And I'll give you this, cover you with this material intelligence. And then it all becomes like very attractive. And so we like this. If we're If you want to become materially entangled, then we like our material intelligence because it's giving us so much advice about this kind of house and that kind of car and this kind of position in society and these friends and, you know, success and conquering others. Yeah? And then simultaneously he's describing that she's accompanied by 10 specific servants, 11 bodyguards, and a snake is going in front of her with 5 hoods. Okay. Yeah, so it's an analogy. And then what does Prabhupada say about all these things? The living entity feels embarrassed by all these things. Again, we're talking about that. You know, children are growing up, and at a certain point they reach puberty and start to have these sexual agitation. And it's very embarrassing. It's very, you know, disturbing because I'm not in control of this. I'm being subjected to this. You know, maybe it's nice, maybe it's not. I'm embarrassed by this. You know? So they don't give that kind of education in schools. They give sex education, but it's like they don't explain the basic principle of the thing, which is the soul is different than the body and all these kind of things. So it's just they don't know how to deal with it. Yeah. It becomes a source of so many complicated problems like that, you know, one after another. But Prabhupada says, always remember this, that what I've said it many times. What does Prabhupada say was Ravana's problem? Ravana's problem was? That's part of it. Yeah. As a general sense. He had more benedictions than he could peacefully enjoy. Yeah? So you kind of notice this, no? Yeah. Same way too, like a lady may have more sorries than you can peacefully enjoy. So your mind becomes always agitated and, you know, maybe if I change my sorries 3 times a day, I can use them all, and, you know, like that. Yeah? So there's a Buddhist phrase that says, he who knows when enough is enough will always have enough. Right? She realized, okay, I've eaten enough, I have enough money, I have a big enough house, you know, I don't need another, you know, 1,000 square feet in my house, I don't need another car, you know, I already have town car, sports car, you know, Jeep, you know, all these things. No, it's enough. You know. One guy, Michael Phillips, kind of a Buddhist type guy, he was one of the, he was a banker with a Jewish guy, a banker with the Bank of California. And he wrote a book called The 7 Laws of Money and a lot of things. So he was giving a seminar one time. It was very inexpensive. You know, so I went there. It was pretty good. Yeah. And he was talking about personal finance. That was the first thing. It was 3 things. Advertising without advertising, personal finance, and something else. They're really good. And he organized his business the same way he was telling you to organize it. He made it so cheap to come to the seminars that you could come. And once you came there, there were other things you could get, like books and stuff like that. Which, yeah, he would say, yeah, this is good, you know, after you came there. So in the end, it would cost you only like, it's only like $15 a night for the seminar, which you went away spending like $45, you know. But you were happy because there were things that you got. and so he was thinking about personal finance. It's the same thing, is that you know, your desires will expand unlimitedly. And you never satisfy all your desires. So the thing is, actually, you have to take care of these desires. It says there's an unlimited number of material pleasures, and nobody can have all of them. Right? Unlimited number of material pleasures. When I read that, it was a lot more peaceful. There's an unlimited number of material pleasures, and nobody can have all of them. You know, oh, okay. You know? Because he was talking about one young woman. Her husband had died like at 38 years old, and she had 3 insurance policies. So she had like $20,000 a month coming in from the insurance policies. And she's only about 32 years old or something. And that was a long time ago, too. Maybe like $30,000 a month now. So that's enough? $30,000 a month? Yeah? So she came to him. She just could not make ends meet. She couldn't pay all of her bills all each month like that. Always having problems like that with $30,000 a month. Because he had these things of personal finance. So he asked her about her lifestyle, and she said, well, I have the beach house, and I have the townhouse, you know, and I have the sports car, and I have the limousine, you know. And it was like all these things like that, you know. And so maybe you could just get rid of the beach house. If you wanted to go to the beach, you could just rent a place, you know, for the weekend. But it wouldn't be mine. So on. So again, your desires expand unlimitedly, you know. And again, this is the material intelligence. Material intelligence will come up with a plan for you. Oh, you got a little free time. Well, I got a plan for you. Huh? And so the living entity becomes embarrassed by all these plans and talks to him, what are you planning on doing? You know, it's like, well, What's a famous example of it's a famous portrait painting, and it's a dump, you know. And it's always, you know, guys are burning this trash, and the whole scene is kind of smoky. It's a big area, you know. So looking at right in the middle is one little area, and the artist kind of makes it so kind of focused there. There's Alexander the Great standing near the dump with his plumes on and everything else, and looking at this one trash can with a lid on it. And the story is he went to see his friend, maybe Diogenes. I don't know, was a great philosopher and stoic and, you know, aesthetic. And he told him, he said, so Diogenes was sitting there with one trash can with a dog, you know, like, you know, sitting there like that, you know. And he said, oh, Diogenes, he said, you know, he said, what are you doing here? He said, well, this is where I live. You know, he said, oh, okay. He said, well, why'd you come? And he said, oh, I'm going to take off now. You won't see me for some time, maybe even for a few years. I'm going to conquer Ethiopia, then I'm going to conquer wherever it was, like that. This place, that place, this place, that place. And then, you know, Diogenes listening to all this, and finally he starts laughing. He's laughing, and he tells the dog, he said, look at this idiot. You know, he's already king of the entire nation, undisputed emperor of the entire nation. But now he's going to take off and conquer all these places and cause all this disturbance for all these people. Yeah, he's not satisfied with the one nation. And you and I, we're satisfied with this one trash can. If we had to, we probably could find some place for him in here too, like that. He's laughing and just pulls the top over the cash can outside. And then he shows this painting of, you know, Alexander looking at the trash can like that, yeah, where he took off. You know. Yeah. So again, there's all this different intelligence. You know, it drives us to do different things like that, to expand in so many ways. You know. So we'd be very careful of our intelligence. We can control the intelligence. You know. And otherwise, I'm embarrassed by all these desires, you know. All the philosophers will laugh at us, you know. Yeah. And even that, even the life here is trying to, you know, sometimes just in the beginning, maybe you're breathing quite normally, but as you get older, there's more mucus in the body, and, you know, it's more and more difficult to maintain your respiration, kind of breathe consciously, do your exercises, keep it going properly like that, you know. But Prabhupada's saying, somebody asked him, how's your body, Swamiji? And he said, oh, it's like an old machine. The more you repair it, the more it breaks down. The more you fix it, the more it breaks down. Okay. So at some point, you just kind of give up. It's just like that. Prabhupada says here that if somebody, all this paraphernalia simply constitute different sources of anxiety. But one who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and leaves all business to Him is free from such anxieties. So you figure out, what is our natural role? What can I do, really, you know? Well, I can't run this body. I can try and do something, but at a certain point, it's just too much, you know? And so when the Christian wants it to go on, okay, let it go on. In the beginning, we're absorbing our body with the mode of ignorance. There is no room. There is no Boise temple. There are no people here. You know, yeah. In the mode of passion, we can see something. So maybe there's somebody here, maybe. Like that. Maybe. In the mode of goodness, then we're actually going to see things, you know? Yeah. Yeah. The owl. But as time goes on, it becomes like, you know, more and more like just, we have some blind spots, like there is no temple president. Temple president doesn't exist, like that. Yeah. Yeah. But as it goes on, it becomes like, you know, more and more like tiny, you know. Our whole activities become more and more internal, you know, and Krishna is reciprocating, maintaining that. Braja Jana Ranjana. He's enlivening everybody. That's why we enliven the devotional service. Only because Krishna is giving us some empty smiling or this or that, you know. And so because of that, we get this feeling. That's called Vibhava. Vibhava? Vibhava. Yeah. The first of the five bhavas, the impetus for this. Either Krishna directly or something that reminds us of Krishna, the temple. Temple, it really connects us to Krishna. Like some, like there's a fire in the temple or something. We just come over and just rushing to put it out, and anxiety, you know, like that, you know, because it's always Krishna's temple, you know, Krishna's inside. That's Vibhava. Without that, there's no Bhava. So Krishna stimulates us. Krishna is the origin of everything. Love exists because you are so kind. One song by Mangalananda. You know? In that condition, then, we see what can I actually do, you know, like that, and find our actual position. Then our all these material responsibilities and everything become very small. It's just like, every few days, well, you see, oh, did I eat? Well, I haven't eaten for 3 days. Okay, better eat, find something to eat or something for the body. Oh, I'm dead. Oh, okay, well, okay, who cares anyway? You know, it's just, you know. It's cold. You know, dead, I guess. Yeah. That's what it's like. You know, when you get out of the prison, you know, you're no longer concerned with, like, you know, some, you did something wrong and you really knew it was a stupid mistake and everybody realizes it was really just kind of like a stupid mistake, so you're in prison for 1 year and you're out. And everybody accepts, yeah, okay, it could happen to anybody, you know. Have to work. You know? And so you just forget about it. It's just, you know, it's there. Maybe you can remember it or something like that, or you meet somebody else who was in the prison with you and you say, oh, hey, how are you? You're out too. What are you doing? And like that. I want to thank you, you know. You really helped me keep my head on straight when I was in a prison there like that. And, oh, yeah, I remember you too. It's just like ISKCON. I'm like, oh, yeah, Chikal, like, where are you? I'm in Yogi. Where are you? I'm in Braha Loka now. You know? Oh, okay, well, that's pretty good. How's it going? Okay. So all the activities in ISKCON are eternal, right? All the activities in the prison are normal, right? When you're a criminal, you're engaged in abnormal activities, right? But in the prison, you're engaged in normal activities. They're, you know, in agreement with the state because they're forcing you to do this. Like that. You know? And as you become a little more advanced and you voluntarily agree to submit to these, you know, medicinal activities, these therapeutic activities. So the prison life is also transcendental. It's also eternal. Right? But, it's, you know, it's from the spirit, from this material perspective like that. You know? Yeah. So all of our relations to this God, they're eternal. There's a Boise temple in the spiritual world. They suck us up, you know. Like that. It's all gone. Yeah. Just take us right up. We got from there. Vacant lot. Empty lot. I guess they suck up all the other houses in the neighborhood too, like that. All the spiritual houses. Yeah. Be surprised somebody else, you didn't know. Lady two houses down the street there, she goes to. Wow, you're going too? Why wouldn't she? She never came to the temple. Yeah, but she was always thinking about the Hare Krishnas and trying to drive him out of the neighborhood, and she hated the Hare Krishnas and went back to the spiritual world too. One devotee, his mother was always critical of devotees and always very harsh, you know. So finally she died, and her last words were to her son, "Where is your Krishna now?" She died. So he went to see Prabhupada. He was lamenting his mother's last words were to curse God. And Papa started laughing. He said, "Why are you laughing, Papa?" He said, "Because she has gone to Krishna." So it's the same thing. Some little thing to work out like that. But, you know, love or hate of God is the same thing, you know, ultimately. You know, some small thing to adjust. So this embarrassment is there. I realize this. God is just, you know. So one time I was in Calcutta. We were working there for some time. We had a flat in a new building about, well, it was 5 minutes by car from the airport. Yeah. And so, yeah, I was really, yeah, our driver said one time, I said, "I think you're an Indian man." I don't feel very, third world countries, I feel very natural, living very simply, that kind of thing, my nature. So I was very, you know, I just knew all the local people. And there was a tea stall in front of our building and say hello to them and stuff like that. You know, we kind of knew each other in the neighborhood. And then one devotee, Bijay Kumar, came. I think he had a pith helmet. He had something like that, some kind of like strange hat. And he had like five suitcases and all this stuff, you know. It's like the white man, like this guy, like a lord, British lord. You know? So I met him at the airport and brought him there in the taxi. I started unloading all this stuff in the taxi. He's falling over it, getting out, you know. And the guys in the tea store are kind of looking at me and, you know, drinking their tea. And also, they too, this is a guy, typical image of like, you know, some British guy or some American guy like that. Looking at me, they're kind of looking and smiling, and I was smiling. And was, you know. A very nice person. You know. Actually, very quickly, sort of giving it all away. The thing, he gave his computer away and everything else like that, and got down to like, you know, some very practical, you know, practical level of what is reality. And it's a lot of Krishna consciousness, right? Getting down to a practical level, establishing priorities. One big businessman, he said, "Yes, you've got to have a schedule, do your work, but it's more important having your priorities. And maybe throughout the day, you've got to go through it, okay? And the morning, you get your priorities set up, okay? And about halfway through the day, you look at it, okay, you're not going to get to this, but what's more important? Okay, that, you know? Because you can never do everything, this point is, you know? And you have a calendar to serve your priorities, you know? But that's the more important thing. So in sadhana bhakti, you got to have a regular schedule. But, you know, sometimes more than that is my priorities. Because your schedule may go to hell. It's an earthquake. You know, so much for my schedule. Yeah, you know. Yeah. But still, what are my priorities? What's your first priority in sadhana bhakti? Okay, what's the second priority? And your second priority after that? Yeah? Okay. Well, they're up, they got their rounds chatted, they come to Mangala Arati. What do you think was after that? After doing that during the day? What other priorities you got? Take a shower. Yeah. So you get a list. Some things are in complexes. You know, coming to Mangala Arati means, you know, get up, take a shower, and everything else. You know. Although, sometimes you get up, just wake up late. My thing is just wash my hands, face, and mouth, and come and stay in the back and come. You know, come somehow or other. And it's always a great effect. You know, then afterwards you can go and just, you know, take a bath and so on. So different people are different. You know, something is the disciples of Prabhupada are kind of our first priority. Prabhupada says that. The most essential service is chanting 16 nice rounds. You know. Then after that, I put following the four principles. Because, you know, even if you can't follow the four principles, you're smoking, you know, pack a day or something like that. You know, don't stop chanting. Well, I'm going to stop chanting. You know, I'm going to stop chanting and stop smoking. It doesn't matter. Narottam Das Thakur said, if you're a sannyasi or a grihastha, it doesn't matter if you chant Hare Krishna. And he said, if you're a sannyasi or a grihastha and you don't chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't matter. They're both just as useless. So, you know, giving up smoking and also giving up chanting, it's better to go on chanting and not give up smoking. Yeah. Be a devotee, you know, like that. Yeah, rather than be a demon in the mode of goodness. Right? Yeah. So your priorities, and then you see, well, how much can I actually maintain? One of the offenses in devotional service is to take more service than you can actually do. It's a negative devotion, and specifically in the purport, Prabhupada talks about chanting rounds. And he said, our initiated disciple chant 16 rounds, but I guess not initiated disciple, if you can't do that, he said, then you should fix up some vow you can do. Okay, I'm going to chant 4 rounds a day for 2 weeks. Okay, from Akadasi to Akadasi. Okay, I know I can do that. So your mind says, oh, you can't chant. So you shut up. Chant. No, you'll die. I won't die. Chant. You won't have time to do your work. Shut up. Chant. Yeah. So you realize, okay, I can do it. So you really, you know, really think about it. What can I do? 2 rounds a day, 4 rounds a day, 8 rounds a day, whatever. Prabhupada says, then fix up some vow and do it. And if that way you'll advance. Yeah? And experiment, you know, sacrificing half your sari. Like, take your closet and mark it up. Okay, for 1 month, I'm going to live with half the sari. Or I'm going to live with, you know, half of my computer paraphernalia and my toys. I won't use my Palm Pilot and so-and-so for 1 month. Or on Sunday, from Saturday night till Monday morning, I'll turn off my cell phone. Did I die? What happened with him? You know, I know one guy, very similar to me. I think if I hadn't become a devotee, I'd be just like him. He's an assistant dean of architecture in South America. His program is every day, again, when work is finished on Friday, he takes off his watch and puts it down, and then doesn't put it back on again until Monday morning when work starts like that. You know? It was an experiment. He discovered, yeah, I can live without this time. I can just have time, you know, I can just have time in terms of what's happening rather than this mechanical time. Like that. You know? So in a lot of Krishna consciousness is like, you know, minimizing, eliminating, and you discover, well, you know, again, my brother-in-law, you know, I was becoming a devotee, I was giving up meat. And he told me, he said, you know, I didn't eat meat one day, and I felt really sick. So, yeah. But, you know, and it was Swin, one devotee, Lena's husband, he decided to stop smoking. And he said he started having asthma and convulsions and everything else, like getting at the cigarettes. I was going to die. You know? And later on he discovered that every single addictive substance that's legal, it's not illegal, is in tobacco. They put all this stuff in their additives, like monosodium glutamate or something, you know, just so you become addicted to it. You know? And so you give up smoking is actually, you know, as he does, it's very, very difficult. You know? But he just kept on doing it, and after a while, you know, his body finally, in the beginning, yeah. And don't push too hard. Prabhupada said the real thing is to increase hearing and chanting. Right? Increase hearing and chanting. Okay, how can I increase? Okay, every day before lunch, I'm going to read one page of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I increased it like that. And after, you know, 1 week, I've read 7 pages. After 1 week, I've read 30 pages. I mean, one chapter. Wow, that's nice. You know, maybe I'll increase it to 2 pages. You know? So that probably says it's like the snake. If you try and pull his skin off, he won't like it. He'll complain. Try and pull his skin off. He said, but if you wait, then naturally during the process, his skin just falls off. Comes off naturally. He says, increase your hearing and chanting. Yes, we can try and minimize things. It's good. But don't become fanatical, especially because of pride. Pride destroys austerity. So I'm doing this and that. You know? Jesus Christ said, when you do your fasts, don't put on a long face. Everybody knows. Just go into your closet. So nobody knows you're fasting and doing austerities. When you give donations, don't do it in public. Just do it in private so God sees. You know? It's because pride destroys austerity. So be careful on that. Okay, then, but still it's good. You can try and minimize, you know, patience. But the most important thing is to increase, you know, the hearing and chanting. And he says, naturally, you'll sleep less, you'll eat less, you know, you'll fight less. All these things will naturally start coming like that. The more you're associating with Krishna, gain this consciousness, you know, nice, happy, satisfied consciousness. Mahavishnu Swami, the Indian devotee, said, everybody should associate for at least 2 hours with Prabhupada every day. You know, by reading his books like that, you know, it's one standard. Yeah. So it's a point. You know, it's an analogy. It's the same thing again. Sankhya yoga, one more time, right? Yeah. And the mind, the intelligence, the mind, the senses, the living entity, Paranjana, his intelligence, and her senses, her sense objects and desires, the garden, which is the body in general, the life airs, which were discussing as a vital force, make everything work in the material world, the physical level. Like that. And then publishing all this paraphernalia is a big embarrassment, you know, for the soul. You know? Soul finds his position in terms of Krishna, right? Yeah? And that's all he needs. You know? Duryodhana wanted Krishna's army. Yeah, but Arjuna said, no, you take it. I just take Krishna. Okay. That was enough for him. You know? And then everything else is actually integrated then. Yeah. I was writing my Vyasa Puja offering this time, you know, sending off. And I started to think about Prabhupada, what to talk about, you know. So I was like, wow, there's so many things. It's like, you know, so many wonderful things we can thank Prabhupada for and appreciate. Yeah. We're seeing the test of his system year after year. We're seeing more and more how it actually works, you know, what he gave us, you know, and appreciating it. So I just one little point actually, just was thinking about that and wrote about that. And I said, okay, now I want to hear what other people have to say. Because yeah? So many people, it's like, you know, Boise, Idaho is a nice city. And different people talk about how it's nice and this and that. And, you know, it takes a lot of people to talk about it. And, you know, the weather and the people and, you know, the different places in the city and, you know, history, right? So it's very nice. Everybody kind of fits together, makes a choir. Yeah? And, you know, orchestrated. So we're just looking for our place in the choir. Find our place. Some people play the trombone, right? Some people play, you know, lead violin. Somebody else is just ringing the bell every now and again, watching, boom, like that, you know. Boom, like that. As the Prabhupada said, my godbrothers are your godbrothers preaching, Prabhupada? He said, yes, they're preaching, but not like me. You know, they're just playing the bell in the band, but I'm doing the preaching for Bhaktisiddhanta, the big preaching. So Prabhupada's godbrothers were very, you know, some were very angry about this. How can you say this about us? So Sridhar Maharaj was laughing. He said, Bhaktivedanta is letting us play the bell in his band. We're very fortunate to be able to play the bell in his orchestra like that. Don't be so proud to see what he's doing. Yeah. So Prabhupada ki? Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki? Yeah. So any comments? Anybody going to sacrifice their possessions? Maybe look at them before you put them in the trash. Yeah.
I've noticed how, you know, people, a lot of people are so agitated.
Yeah.
But as soon as we find a niche, a little thing,
yeah,
we have to do suddenly so everything is so peaceful.
Yeah.
What we can do, you know?
Yeah.
We don't have to, you know, take somebody else's, you know.
Yeah, yeah, this, that.
Or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It becomes everything just, and I've seen it time and again with everybody, you know?
Yeah. Hans Duda was saying that he's a manager. He said, you have a farm and everything else. He said, people, when they come, the ordinary person is just going to ask two questions. Where am I going to stay, my family, and what am I going to do? He said, these two things are clear. You're going to stay here, this is for the residents of that. And here's your activity, your service like that. He said, that's it. He said, 90% of the population is then like, is peaceful, you know. And ultimately, spiritually, yeah, I mean, here's your position, lotus feet of Krishna, and here's your service. It's a fact. And see, our agitation all comes when we're not like in our proper position for the most part. But we're also just refining it. And we got a position, but then we realize even still it can be, you know, better and better and more refined. So much service to do. So much. I think, I mean, as you actually engage in devotional service, you begin to realize there's so many things, and it's just like you're no longer, you know, envious of anybody else. And since people coming, you're like looking at them and seeing, like, how can they, you know, and all these things need to be done. You know, what do? I'm a carpenter. That's the thing you go about. Yeah, can you do this and that, this and that, this and that? Yeah, I could. You know? Jayananda was like that. he was always very humble, you know, but always he was, you know, always anybody would come, he was really, he could engage them. You know, what their position was, he could engage them in different kinds of service, like, you know, lawyers, you know, refrigerator repair people, landlords, apple tree owners, everybody, you know. Yeah. But he couldn't become be his association without being engaged. It was just like, whoosh, you know, you're engaged in some service right away, washing the windows. And it was like that. It was peaceful. Because that was your nature. Whatever you got, you could see, like, oh, that's what you're doing. You know? So you feel happy, you know. And when guys came to fix our walk-in, it wasn't a walk-in refrigerator, it was a big, you know, big one like that, you know, door one. It wasn't working, and they came there, a couple Mexican guys, and he said they wanted, like, you know, I think it was like $65 or something. So let me talk to them like that. It was a treasure. You know, you talk to them a little bit, this and that and stuff. And so, give me 20. And they were happy. And then they felt, you know, we helped out this church, nice church, you know. And then the guy was going by, and he came by again, just kind of stopped by and said, how's it going? He just kind of voluntarily stopped by to see how things were going in the refrigerator. You know, just felt happy, you know, working with the devotees like that. So find our position. Pray. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, Srimati Radharani, please, you know, purify my intelligence today so I can see my position in Krishna's service in the Sankirtan movement. And if you want to, you can also get an eternal position in the Sankirtan movement. Travel with Srila Prabhupada eternally. Right? Just reading books. Yep. Well, maybe you don't want that, though. Other services, too. I like this one. It's pretty good. I found my place finally. It's going behind Prabhupada like a piece of dust in Vrindavan, kind of moving along with it. So, did you file your taxes last night? Yeah. See, now, what's the bottom limit? There's a certain amount. If you make less than a certain amount, the government doesn't want to even hear about you. 7,000 a year? A year?
No, not $7,000. I mean, not even a year.
Huh? No, there's a limit. Like it's less. If you're making less than $7,000 a year, they say just don't file.
Yeah, well, $8,200.
Okay, it's gone up. Yeah. So if you can live on less than $8,200 a year, as far as the government's concerned, you come, then there's no complication. You know, embarrassed by all your paraphernalia. That's how much a month? 6 times 12 is 72. $7 a month. Just about that. So could you live on $700 a month? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If you didn't have rent and stuff to pay, if you owned the property or someplace you'd stay, it's like $700 a month. You see, I mean, God arranges even the Kali Yuga. If you're living properly, a simple spiritual life like that. You know, is there free food in Boise? Yeah. But I was going on. You start seeing, you're looking around, you find, I meet people like that and stuff. One person was writing books. Simple books are being published. There's a lot of small presses in Berkeley. You know, he's been publishing little books like that and stuff. They sell there, you know. He was describing his lifestyle and car and not a car. And he was describing, he was living like that just for, you know, he found somebody who had a little room in the house where he could get it for like $100 a month. And they were happy. They weren't using it. And he was kind of nice because actually almost like a caretaker. When they were gone and stuff, or somebody there. So it all, you know, it was funny. So you find your place, you know. You can minimize your desires. Michael Phillips again. You know. And you discover then you can live simply. Devotee can increase it more and more for Krishna. But then it's for Krishna. Krishna gives you the authority. I give the example, if you have very, very intense, passionate karma and everything else, you know, some astrologers are going to say, you're not going to be brahmachari. You know, it's your nature. It's just so passionate and sexual relations, you know. It's okay. You can be married with 6 wives and 36 kids, right? And that's your nature. Then Krishna, it's everybody's happy. You know, Krishna sends nice kids and 36 nice kids, right? Like these rascals. You know? But then it's like, wow. And everybody's happy. All the wives are getting along together really well and everything else. And it's just, Martin Luther was like that. You know? And then the money's coming just very naturally. You know, everybody's engaged and, you know, makes sort of cookie business or bakery business and it goes really well and people are so happy and it's, well, you know. But okay, Krishna sees that's your nature. Why should I change it? You know, you got your karma, okay, do it. You can become a devotee and have lots of nice kids, you know. They can all become nice devotees. We need lots of parents. You know? But that's for Krishna, you know. So it's not, you can see this is not, I'm not maintaining all these things. I'm not doing all these things, you know. King Solomon had, I don't know how many wives, right? But he, you know, someone told him you should take more wives and this and that, you're a king. And he said, look, I have enough time keeping the first one happy. But this and that for the government and everything. I said, okay, you know, I'll do it. And the God, and God said, yeah, let's go ahead. You know, so again, so many wives and so many kids, and they all were happy together. You know. I think he's the only king in Israel who actually was happy from beginning to end. And they was doing everything right. You know, like that. And he's the patriarch for the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. And he was a Hare Krishna devotee. His boatyards, they thought they were on the Mediterranean, but now they discovered they were on the Red Sea, what it was. And he has peacock feathers and all this kind of analogies. So apparently he had like regular contact with India. And in many of his things he's talking about are from, you know, found the same thing as in Gita Govinda, like that. So if Solomon becomes a Hare Krishna, then they're all in trouble. The Jews, the Christians, the Muslims are all going down too, like that. So they don't like this. You know, he was had Indian, you know, influence like that. King Solomon ki, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki, back home, back to Godhead. Tomorrow somebody else is giving class. Maybe Chukala Gyan can give a visitor here like that. Then the rubber tray works tomorrow. Solomon Rockland. After school? Actually, quite a few. Solomon Moses.